In the UK, Easter is always in spring. Somehow we take that for granted. We've always associated Easter and spring with daffodils following on from snowdrops and crocuses. But in our routine domestic lives at home, our thoughts may turn from the joys of spring to the less lovely spring cleaning. At this time of year, we often declutter. We realise that we've kept all sorts of stuff. At some point, it was beautiful, or it carried memories, or we thought it might come in useful. You know the feeling. But when we look at it, we wonder what we were thinking. But it can be remarkably difficult to let go of comforting clutter. It is true, though, that sometimes small things, which have no practical use now, can carry extraordinary significance. I don't know whether any of you watched the TV programme The Repair Shop. I want you to picture a tatty little pair of children's shoes. They are the only physical legacy of a whole family. They were handmade with love for a tiny Jewish girl who is now an elderly woman. She and her parents left Europe while they still could. Their journey was long, and those shoes had to last. When her feet grew, they cut some leather from the uppers, leaving them with open toes. And it was only later that they discovered that they were the only part of their family who survived the Holocaust. And without those shoes, how could that story easily be told to those who came after? Most of the time, the stuff we keep is clutter. But often, for all sorts of reasons, we put it back in the cupboard out of misplaced loyalty, out of indecision, our lives continued cramped and cluttered, held back by the responsibility and the quantity of all this stuff. In church life, Lent is the season to prioritise, to streamline, to declutter. Our habits and practices once served us well, but they can become spiritual clutter. And we may remember Jesus at this point, grieving for the rich young man who felt unable to join the disciples because he felt responsible for managing the family wealth and possessions. On the face of it, Jesus sidestepped all this by travelling light with his friends. And that perhaps makes it harder to see all the things he deliberately gave up, particularly in those last days of his life. The communal meals, the teaching, the relationships, watching those close friends grow, albeit in fits and starts, as he nurtured and challenged them by turns. In those last days, he gave all of that up. He saw to it that it was all stripped away. His freedom, of course, went first, along with any claim to fairness or justice or dignity. His few possessions were taken, his clothes removed, claimed by a throw of the dice. His body was assaulted, bruised, and mocked. He was thoroughly humiliated, alienated from his friends, powerless, speechless, a man of sorrows. And he gave everything up, even his relationship with his Father God. And then on the cross, he willingly, painfully, gave up life itself. And having given everything to the Father in prayer, ultimately he gave that up too. And it's because Jesus trusted in the Father enough to give everything up, including life, that death itself was defeated. You can't take it with you. Shrouds have no pockets. Death, of course, is the most radical of goodbyes. Jesus dies. The authorities of the time think that Jesus' movement is all extinguished. Those memories will die out and things will go back to normal. Yesterday, Holy Saturday, reminded us of that sense of shock and loss and emptiness which Jesus' people endured. Jesus, the Son of God, was and is unique. He used his life to preach and teach in love for the world and its people. He gave his life to that end too. And then came the resurrection, new life of an entirely different order, unexpected, amazing. And it changed things, not only for his faithful, broken people, but for all the faithful, broken people throughout all time. But as we see, resurrection can't come with baggage. It's the newest and most extraordinary of new beginnings. There are no words which are even vaguely adequate. If any sort of new beginning is to be the most wonderful thing it can be, to be itself, we are wise if we allow it to open into its own promise. It can't fulfill its potential. It can't thrive if we have preconceptions about how it will go. It won't be a new thing if we try to shape it. It will be more of the old thing. The same old, reworked, limited and constrained, because we are limited and anxious people. Consciously or not, we try to make everything nice. We try to make everything fit. And we might think of those little shoes with the toes cut out. They had been little masterpieces. They were marked so that they could continue to fulfill their purpose for longer. And we call to mind that Jesus' risen body continued to carry the damage which had been inflicted. A reminder of the story and a price, lest we forget. Ultimately, resurrection is total and beautiful news. Unpredicted, unpredictable, astonishing, unique. It brings freedom to live and give generously, without those constraints that our anxiety puts on it. May we relish that this Easter. May we live and love in the freshness and joy of Easter as Easter people, letting go all the old anxieties and constraints. May we later leave this place with spring in both senses in our steps, taking Christ's promise of new life into the world, knowing and showing ourselves to be Easter people. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.